This is Mahalini's Voices of the Soul, your journey to inspiration, connection, and transformation. I'm Jane Mahalini Haridats, your guide through stories of remarkable people from all over the world who are ready to tell their life story to uplift and elevate your journey. Let's begin this magical journey right now. Welcome to Mahalini's Voices of the Soul, where we aim to dive into the heart and soul of well-known, successful entrepreneurs from all over the world. We love to uncover the soul behind the success and achievements, and to meet the real person behind all those successes and achievements, and discover how their personal stories shape them to become the person that they are today. To inspire, uplift, and elevate your journey to your own success. I'm Jane Mahalini Haridats. I'm a multidimensional medium and a teacher healer on sacred sexuality and soul embodiment. And I'm also the writer of the book, Make Peace with Your Origin. And today we have another special guest with a very special topic today, one of my passions. Today's special guest is Sally Green from the U.S., New York, right, Sally?
I'm in Connecticut, which is close to New York, next door.
Next door to New York, okay. And we will explore a topic we are both passionate about, which is God, which is spirituality, and how we include God and spirituality in our daily activities, in our daily lives. So just a few weeks ago, I was a speaker on the Mind-Body Connection of Action Taken Publisher, where Sally is the vice president from. And I was really privileged to be one of the speakers where I provided a healing on our sacred sexuality with the power of the Aloha Power of Hawaii, another passion of mine. And so I'm very grateful that for the given opportunity, Sally. Thank you again, and happy to have you here too to talk about your passion. So welcome. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to be here and talk about this topic.
Yeah, yeah. So before we dive further into your personal story, just please take us in your private life. Do you the place you're living now in Connecticut, was it also your birthplace?
Yeah, I've born here, never left. I mean, I live probably 15, 20 minutes from where I grew up. I've been married 39 years.
Oh, wow.
To my husband. We met in high school. He was older than me, but yeah, so I haven't moved very far physically, but spiritually, I'm all over the place.
With our spirit, we can travel all over the
exactly.
world, right? Beyond the globe, even beyond the globe. So that's always a free ticket. So
there you go.
Do you have children?
I have one daughter. She's a fifth grade school teacher.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so, right now I'm an empty nester. I mean, my daughter's, out, doing her thing. So it's just me and my husband here and my my two cats, which are usually around here somewhere. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I mean, I've been on this spiritual journey. I mean, my spiritual awakening happened in 2006. But before that, I mean, growing up, I've always felt a connection to God. I've always felt a connection to spirit. In fact, when I was 5 years old, I remember I had questions. And I went into my mother's bedroom and I picked up the telephone and I dialed the operator and I asked to speak with God. And the operator was like, hello, and she was, I'm like, can I please speak to God? I thought that, I could just speak to him.
Yes.
And my mother came in and started, took the phone out of my hand and started yelling at me, you can't call the operator and ask to talk to God. But I mean, I remember that distinctly that, I didn't know what I was going to ask him, but I remember feeling that I wanted that connection. I wanted to speak with God, even at a very, very young age.
It's wonderful, right? It's so wonderful. Yeah. And you know, children are so open, so just open just to receive, right? And just, yeah, so natural. It's something, being connected to God was a very natural thing for you too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, the funny thing is my parents weren't spiritual. We never went to church. We never, you know, there were five of us. So getting us all up and dressed on a Sunday morning to go to church was my mother was like, I ain't doing that, you know? So we weren't very spiritual. On my father's side, my grandmother would go occasionally, and sometimes she would bring me. But you know, I'm not sure where that spirituality came from. I guess I was born with it, but it's something that I've been searching for my whole life.
So yeah, wonderful, wonderful to hear. It is. I'm so curious just to know more about it. You know how now you're including it in your daily life. But before we, and also in your wonderful business activities. But before we go into that part, you know, I would like to share with the world, you know, about you and your business activities and your driving forces. So, Sally Green is the Vice President of Author Development at Action Takers Publishing. With a background in business and Christian mentorship, Sally's passion for storytelling and empowering others has transformed her into a best-selling author and inspirational speaker. In March of 2020, Sally realized that while she was good at caring for everybody else, she was really bad at caring for herself. This revelation sparked a journey of self-care, leading her to invest in herself and contribute to a multi-author book project. That experience ignited Sally's passion for writing and a desire to help others share their stories with the world. As Vice President of Author Development, Sally guides aspiring writers through the process of transforming their ideas into best-selling books. She provides invaluable feedback, accountability, and encouragement. Beyond her publishing role, Sally is a sought-after inspirational speaker, sharing her experiences and insights. She motivates individuals to embrace self-care, pursue their passions, and unleash their inner author. What a beautiful background.
Thank you.
And what is the role that spirituality, what God plays in this background, Sally?
God's all over there. I mean, all of that is God-driven.
Yeah.
I couldn't have written what happened to me in 2020. It had to be a God pulling me out of where I was, because I was in such a dark place.
Would you like to share a little bit more about the dark place? Is it okay for you?
Yeah, yeah. I had a cleaning business. My husband and I had a janitorial and cleaning business. We worked in this place, and you know, it got to where it was just monotony. You know, and I needed the job to make the money, to pay the bills, and it was every day just doing the same thing. And I was working and working and working so hard and not getting anywhere. I had let myself go. I wasn't connected spiritually the way that I used to be and the way that I wanted to be. And I was 40 pounds heavier. I mean, I'm big now, but I was 40 pounds heavier than I am now. And so I remember the day I woke up and I looked in the mirror, and we had the lockdown had just happened. They were only saying it was only going to last a couple of weeks, but it had just happened. And I got up that morning and I looked in the mirror and I was like, you are a mess. I mean, in every single facet, because financially, I didn't know how we were going to make it without me working. Emotionally, I was a wreck. Mentally, I was numb. Spiritually, it was gone. Physically, I was hurting. And so I said, I need to do something different. Otherwise, you know, this is all for what is, you know, what is life all about? And it was, I had been on this hamster wheel where I was having the same day over and over and over again. And so I had this awakening or whatever. And I started with the food and I started, you know, eating healthier. I threw out all the snacks and I shut off the television because I was like, I got to get my mind straight. And I started reading the self-help books again that 30 years earlier I had always dove into and I hadn't read in so long. And I invested in myself and took some online courses and things that I wanted to learn more about in marketing and sales and, you know, internet, you know, doing, creating courses and writing and stuff that I've always had a passion for, but because I needed to pay the bills, I had let that stuff, behind me. And so within 9 months, I got offered an opportunity to write a chapter in a collaboration book with 150 other highly successful entrepreneurs and business people and actors and actresses. And I was like, I am never, you know, and here I am, this lowly house cleaner in Connecticut. And I'm thrown into this book with all of these people. And I was like, I need to leverage this situation. God put me here for a reason.
Yes.
I need to. So I sat down one day and I opened up the book and I connected with every single person in that book. Okay. And sent them an email or found them on Facebook and messaged them and said, hey, we're in the same book together. What do you do? What do you have going on? I'd love to hear more about you, you know, who you are in your business.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them didn't respond to me, but a lot of them did.
Okay.
And so, you know, that was the start of it. And that, I mean, God put that in my head. I mean, that is something that, you know, I've always, like I said, I've always felt that conversation with God, had that conversation with God in my head.
Mm-hmm.
But that changed my life. That's where I met Linda. That's what, you know, I started writing more and, you know, that the writing started pouring out of me, you know, because I had stifled it for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And it started pouring out of me again. And so, you know, that's been like the last 3 years have been just one thing after another, after another. And I believe it's all God led, because there's no way I could have gone from the darkness that I was in
mm-hmm.
to the light that I'm in now without
yeah.
having some kind of a spiritual connection. And I'll tell you right now, I mean, there's a lot of spiritual warfare going on in my life and I'm feeling it, but I think it's because I'm about to break through. I know it's about because I'm about to break through and there are forces that are trying to stop it.
Yeah. And just tell me a little bit more. How do you recognize that forces are stopping it?
It's just
feel free, just feel
yeah,
free
no,
to
I mean,
mention the forces.
Well, I mean,
okay.
there's just every aspect of my life right now,
mm-hmm.
those all those areas that I talked about, the financial and the relationships and the, you know, my mom has Alzheimer's, so I'm dealing with that. My dad has heart issues. My husband just got a cancer diagnosis.
Mm.
I've got my daughter is having issues with her relationship with her boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
The business the last like few months hasn't brought in the amount of money that we were previously had. So it's, you know, we're trying to revamp the business. And so it seems that it's just coming at me from all sides, and I'm kind of trying to just hold it all together.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the only thing that's keeping me going is my faith. And
yes, yeah. And how does it keep you going? Because I can imagine, I recognize what you're saying, okay? Because
mm-hmm.
I had also a lot of challenges and hurdles, and talking about, you know, forces that are pulling you down, you know, I recognize what you're saying. And so but how do you deal with it? How is your faith keeping you on track?
Well, you know, I
What
have
is your
my,
morning ritual? What is your morning ritual?
well, you know, that my, I, every morning I wake up, usually about 5:30, 6 o'clock. I mean, I don't even set the alarm. I just wake up and I lay there and I have my conversation with God. And usually it's about 1 hour to 2 hours. I will lay there and I will say, okay, Lord, this is what I have going on. This is what I need help with. And I visualize, I do a lot of visualizations. I visualize my day going the way that I want it to go. I visualize the positiveness. I'll go to my happy place. I have a lake that we used to go to, my husband and I. And so I'll lay there and I'll sit on the lake and I'll talk to God. So I do a whole morning, every morning I do this. I lay there and I speak to God, and I do the same thing at night before I go to bed. I have my gratitude. All right, Lord, thank you for the what, you know, for today. And what do I need to do now better for tomorrow? And what does my day look like for tomorrow? And who can I inspire? And what, you know, so I have that morning and evening talk, and throughout the day. I mean, I'm talking to him all day long.
It's the same thing I'm doing too, and it is fun, right? At least then in my case, it helps me just to it is something automatically. It is happening. It is happening 24/7. You just talk. When you wake up, you start to talk with God or to the angels and the spirits, and it helps. It helps a lot, right? Just to feel carried and accompanied.
But you know, I wasn't always that way. And I talked about, you know, 2006, I had my spiritual awakening. I taught Sunday school for 20 or actually I've taught it for over 30 years to the kids, you know, and I would go on Sunday to church and I would teach Sunday school and I would come home and I wouldn't talk to God. I wouldn't think about God until next Sunday when I had to prepare my lesson, or next Saturday night when I had to prepare my lesson for the week. And then in 2006, I had a whole spiritual event that happened, and that kind of woke me up to, okay, I'm speaking to God all day long. I have this relationship with God. I know that he's speaking to me. I recognize his voice. I have that discernment that took me years to learn. But it's being aware and it's practicing and it's doing the things that need to be done in order to in order to live this life. I mean, it's hard. Life is hard. There's a lot
Life is hard. Yeah, you cannot deny it, we cannot deny it. Life is tough. That is, and do you feel that and it seems as if life is becoming more tough, every day, more challenging with all the things going on in the world, and it's becoming heavier and heavier. At least that is what I sense. And are there moments that during your before you're having your awakening, and maybe after that too, because 2006, it's quite a few years ago, that you had some doubts about God, because the challenges were so very heavy that you had, can you tell that you had such a moment?
Oh yeah, my whole teen and in 20s. I mean, I doubted God's existence. I doubt. Yet it was funny because I was still teaching Sunday school, I doubted that he was real. You know, in the stuff that they teach you in Sunday school was that, you know, like this man outside of you or this person outside of you just directing stuff. And it wasn't until I realized that God isn't outside of me. God is inside of me.
Yes, exactly. And
That.
when was the moment? Was it during that event, the spiritual event, that you discovered that God was inside of you?
Yeah. And the power that we have, the power that, you know, and that was, I mean, that's another story for another day, but that whole stuff that happened in 2006 was, you know, just really eye awakening for me. And you know, a lot of stuff spiritually was going on. And I'll just tell one of the stories. I felt like I wanted to do a Bible study for teenagers. And so I was praying because I had gotten offered the opportunity and I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it because I had so much on my plate at that time and I was doing so much. And it's like, Lord, I can't do this. I don't want to do this. And I was praying out loud. It was sprinkling outside, not too badly. And I'd never prayed out loud, but I was praying out loud and saying, Lord, I can't put one thing more thing on my plate. I got so much going on. I'm not sure this is the right direction. If this is something you want me to do, just give me a sign. Let me know that this is what you want me to do, and I'll do it. And then I said, Amen. As soon as I said, Amen, there was a flash of lightning and a thunder outside the door outside. I had chills. My whole body got chilled. And I was like, okay, I guess I need to do this, So things like that were happening regularly to me.
And if you're going to that moment that you knew that you had to do whatever God wanted you to do, what was your biggest lesson in that experience? What do you think that God wanted to teach you? Could it be
Step
that
up. I think it was to step out of your comfort zone. A lot of it was to stop playing small. Stop thinking that you don't have enough power, that you don't have enough influence, that you don't make you don't that people don't care about what you say or people don't care about what you do. Stop thinking that you're not good enough. And step out and see, with the power of God inside of you. If you showcase that, he can take you places that you never thought possible.
Yeah, and what was a place that he took you where you never thought it was possible?
Well, I wound up starting that Bible study. I started it with six kids, my daughter, one of her friends, and a friend of mine, and her three or four kids from her church. And in 2 years, we grew it to f over 55 kids coming every week to a Bible study. Seventh graders, seventh middle school. Now, if you know anything about dealing with kids, middle school students are horrible to teach. We taught 55 kids coming regularly to a Bible study where they actually opened the Bible and learned about God, and every single week. And I stood after that, I stood back and I was like, holy cow, what are we, as we were even in it, I was like, what are we doing? This is crazy. And that feeling, and then that's when I was like, okay, God is leading me. I need to follow this path. I need to not let this slip away. And eventually it did. Eventually I started living the life, and that's where now in 20, when I hit 2020, I had forgotten a lot of that, And so the last 3 years, I've brought that back. I've brought back the speaking and the writing and the influencing and working with, now I'm working mostly with women, especially women, my age and who are empty nesters in their 50s and 60s and 70s who have had issues in their life, and they want to have now that resilience, right? They want to have that power, feel that power. They want to get to figure out what who they are inside and how to let that light out.
It is, it is in my work, I also work with a lot of women and sometimes with men too. But it is such a beautiful thing just to know and discover our womanhood and femininity. And I don't know on what topics you're working on. I'm working also on the the female sexuality, which is so very powerful, just to because that is being suppressed, and it is really being suppressed, and it is our creative energy. So, what are the topics that you are working on with women?
I work mostly with self-care, keeping ourselves filled. Women, because I think women especially are so, so easily led to be taking care of everybody else. Take care of your business, you take care of your kids, you take care of your parents, you take care of your husband, and you wind up draining yourself until to the point where you can't function or you have trouble functioning. And so it's keeping that cup filled to overflow and only giving to others from that overflow and constantly keeping your cup filled.
And how do you keep your cup filled? What is
And
what is a tool that you're using to keep your cup filled? I'm
yeah.
doing this. I'm doing a lot of things just like that too. But what is a specific tool?
Well, I mean, a lot of it is the visualization I talked about earlier. Doing things that you love, that maybe you as a child you loved, that the writing for me was something that I had always loved to do and that I had put aside because life happened. Art was something I always loved painting, and it was something I put aside because life happens. And so sitting down and taking an art class, going out and just taking a nap in the afternoon. And just pour, doing things that are going to make you happy. I think a lot of times we don't do things that make us happy. We do things we think will make other people happy, or we want to please other people, but we don't really know what we want in life. So really sit down and figure out, what is it that I want? What is it that I want to happen in my life? Who do I want to be? What do I want to be known for and known as? And who really looking at who am I?
Because it starts with us, right? If you're not taking self, if you're not taking care of yourself, if your cup is not filled enough, then you will shorten, your cup will become empty if you're taking care of somebody else. And it is really a beautiful thing, and to consciously keep on filling your own cup. And in my case, the way I work, just to share one of my tools, is I'm working a lot on just sacred sexuality, of course, but also working on ancestral lines to heal the intergenerational trauma. And because it is so, we all have it. We all have it, all the patterns. And just to recognize, okay, this is me. This is my energy. This is not my mother's energy or my grandmother's energy, but this is mine. And this is what I really want. So I have to get rid of the layer where my mother and my grandmother and all the ancestors are still affecting me. And it is, I'm really happy with the work for women. And I'm happy to hear that you're doing the same thing too, Sally, because a lot of women need it. We all need it, right? The self-care. And I have another question. Is this just something else? It is about a near-death experience. I was watching something different. It's quite a different topic, I know. I was watching a movie lately, and it was this movie about a man in the US. It's a true story. It's based on a true story, and he was a minister. And during a car wreck, he died for 90 minutes. For 90 minutes. So another minister was driving by and started to pray for him. Although everybody thought that he was dead, he started to pray for him and he woke up. He returned to life and after 90 minutes. And he went through a very, very, very tough time through his life, just to heal. And during the 90 minutes, he has his encounter with God. He was in heaven and he has his encounter with God. And he experienced peace, love, and harmony. It was all beautiful, but it wasn't his time to die. So he had to return to his family, to the earthly situation, which he has a very, very difficult time with. So my question, and the moment that after I think 1 year or maybe 2 years. The moment that the real healing started for him was the moment that he was able to share his story about his near-death experience and his encounter with God with his wife, which luckily was really open and receptive. And she honored him and she embraced his experience. So my question is, do you believe in near-death experiences as a Christian?
Well, it's funny you say that, you ask that question, because I had a near-death experience as
Oh,
a child.
really? Okay.
Yeah. When I was 18 months old, I reached up and grabbed a boiling pot of water.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And had the, and, you know, lost a bunch of the skin. My parents rushed me to the hospital. I was in the, they put me at that time, they didn't have like burn units or anything. So they put me in the children's ward with other sick kids, and I wound up getting a staph infection. And I was in a coma for 3 days. They called my parents one night and said, "We don't think she's going to make it till morning." And they asked my parents to come in the morning, and they called a priest in to come in and give me last rites. And that afternoon, my fever broke. And 2 weeks later, I was home.
Oh my goodness, yeah. But you did.
So I don't remember any of that. I've been told stories my whole life about being in the, and I've often wondered if that's why I've always felt the connection to spirit, that maybe I had an encounter at 18 months old to, you know, that just stuck with me somewhere. And that, you know, because my parents were not, didn't, weren't churchgoers, because the, you know, I was always curious and asking, you know, people that I knew about God, but I didn't know what God was as a child. But I've often wondered if that's where my spiritual, you know, thinking has come from, is
yeah.
experience.
It feels so true. It feels so true what you're saying now. It is funny, right? Because I didn't know anything about this experience. I didn't know, because it's the very first time that we are meeting each other, right? The big
Yeah. And I haven't talked about this story. I think I wrote about it in one of the earlier books, but I haven't told this story out loud in quite a long time. So. Yeah.
So yeah, this is also God driven. Oh my goodness. I was getting prepared, you know, I was watching this movie. I thought, oh, this is a very interesting story, a very interesting question just to take with us, you know, in the podcast and to talk about the near death experiences. And you're having one, and you're telling us that at the age of five, you just took the phone and to call God. It was so natural.
Right.
It feels so right, you know. It feels so right.
Yeah.
Connection, you know, feels so logical.
But I believe, you know, I believe in you know, that, you know, that life and death and you know, where we go when we die is kind of where we go when we sleep.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it's that place of peace, that place of, you know, when we're asleep, we don't know what's going on. We don't have those, especially when we're in those moments of deep sleep, right? We don't have the worries, we don't have the anxiety. So where are we? And you know, why can't we just live that throughout the day when we're awake?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, my experience is that I truly believe that during our sleep, we are traveling. Our soul is traveling to other dimensions. That is really, there's something that I really believe. And sometimes in dimensions that are not so funny, you can wake up, you know, very tired. And in other moments, then you're waking up just like having the feeling that you were in heaven, you know, and so peaceful and harmonious. So, yeah, I really do believe that we travel during the night, during our sleep. So, yeah. And do you believe in miracles?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I don't, you know, I'm a dreamer. And that started in 2006, when all that stuff, I would have these dreams and they would be so vivid. And I would, and I can recall some of them even now, you know, where I would have these dreams and I didn't know what they meant. And I would say to, I would talk to somebody and they were like, oh my gosh, I know somebody that went through that. Or I would go in and do a little and research it. I mean, I had a Jacob's ladder dream, more than one, where I, you know, was walking and I saw people going up and down an escalator. And so it's just, you know, when we go into that sleep and we have those dreams, I think it's foreshadowing. It's telling us, it's helping us to live life. It's helping us to deal with situations. We could solve things in the middle of the night. I mean, and so, you know, I don't know, you know, how many times do you go to sleep with wondering about something and you wake up in the morning and you remember something that happened? And so, you know, we have those moments of awakening in the middle of the night that, you know, help us to go through life, right? To help us to get through the day.
And I see dreams like messages of God. Sometimes very vivid, sometimes very clear, and sometimes a little bit puzzling to question it more and to discover the answer and the solution yourself. So, and sometimes very funny dreams. So I just consider dreams as the messages of God. And it's so wonderful, you know, just that we are able to dream, right? It is a wonderful channel to connect with God. And what are you dreaming of in your, what is your bucket list? What is something that you would like to finish, things to do before you die?
Well, I'm in the process of writing my own book, so I'd like to get that finished, and I'm hoping to have that finished by the end of this year. I've been working on it for, I don't know, probably like 2 years now, and I've started it and stopped it, started it and stopped it. I have things written, and but I'm like, you know what? I think it's time. So that's on my bucket list for the next few weeks, actually, is to get that done.
And just make the listeners a little bit curious. What is the topic of your book?
So the title that I mean the one that I'm working on, it's called Resilience, Five Life Lessons to Overcome Adversity and Emerge Stronger. So I want to talk about being resilient, and because all my life that's what it's been, you know, having to fight for what I want, having to bounce back, having to change and conform and be the outlier, right? Be the one who steps outside the boundaries and does something a little bit crazy, does something a little bit different, and pulls those that I love along with me and says, "Hey, come on, we can do something a little bit different. We don't have to conform to everybody else." But it's being strong enough to bend, right? It's being strong enough to make those changes in your life, to step outside the comfort zone, to do something scary, to do something that you're maybe a little bit afraid of, but that God is telling you to do. That inner voice is saying, hey, you know what? Go after this, go after this, go after this. And you're hesitating. Go after it. Have some fun with it.
You know, and I really believe it's just you know, it is the path to be unique, your unique self, right? And not to be afraid, just to be the creator and create your own life, just the way you feel like you want to do it, and
Right.
not to be the follower of the mainstream.
Exactly.
Yeah,
Right. It's one of the things that I shut the TV off because I was like, you know what? I'm not, I don't want to be like everybody else. My husband laughs at me because we had a job and we were in a like a community and all the houses were the same. Every single house was the same. And he was like, would you ever maybe think about selling the house and moving into a community like this? And it was like a gated community, all huge, beautiful houses, but they were all the same. And I was Never, never. I don't want to be like everybody else. I don't want to be in a house. I mean, even my car, it's
God.
driving me crazy because we couldn't afford to buy me a nice, a good, the car that I wanted. So I have my car, but it's gray. And it looks like I go in the parking lot, it looks like every other car in the parking lot. And I was like, that's not me. You know, and I said, I keep saying to my husband, I need to make enough money where I can get a car to make me unique. I don't like being like everybody else. That's not who I am.
No, you don't. You are not. I don't think that God had the intention to design us, you know.
Exactly.
If we are made by the sign of God, you know, he didn't wanted us to be the same. We are all unique, right? We are the
Exactly.
creators.
I love
Yeah, and what is a golden nugget that you would like to leave the listeners with?
Recognize the power in your words. Recognize the power to speak what it is that you want. Speak your truth. Say the things that you want to happen in your life, and step outside your comfort zone and go do it. But realize how powerful it is to speak those words, to change the words, to stop saying I'm tired and say I'm empowered, to stop saying I'm sad and start saying I'm excited about life, to
Yes.
change those words up that you're saying to yourself inside your head, and change the words that you're speaking outside in your mouth. And just it's powerful.
It is powerful. Yes, thank you so much. Beautiful words, and a beautiful golden nugget. A lot of golden nuggets in one, right? For the listeners to make use of. And how can people reach you?
They can go to findsally.com. If they go there, they'll have information. There's a free download for one of the books that I'm in. There's information on how to connect with me. All the books that I've contributed to are there. You can go on to Amazon and purchase them. There's ways to hear me, connect with me, to get me to come and speak at one of your events, or whatever it is that you. But I'd love to connect with any of your listeners. If you have any questions, I'd love to talk to you about things.
Yeah, so ladies and gentlemen, there's an invitation of Sally. Just listen to it, and you never know how it might bring both of you all the benefits of the connection. So thank you so much, Sally, for being here. Thank you so much for this beautiful, open conversation about God and spirituality. It is so important just to feel free to talk about God, you know, without offending anybody, just to be free. Thank you so much for it.
You're welcome. This is fun.
Yes, it is fun. God is fun, right? Life is fun. Life is fun if we want to make it funny. So I would like to close with some inspiration. And Albert Einstein once said, there are only two ways to live your life. Either everything is a miracle or nothing is a miracle. And miracles are God, and God is forgiveness. Forgiveness creates miracles. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's forgive each other and ourselves, and let's create more miracles because we all need it. Our planet needs it. Thank you for now. Stay tuned with us because more remarkable guests are coming from all over the world, and they love to share their stories with you to uplift, elevate your journey. And then,